and thankful to see everyone here this morning as we're here to study those things of divine nature and grow towards perfection. And that's what it's all about, is growing and keep on growing until Jesus comes.
Amen.
And there is a lot of growing to do, and we never stop growing. And so, as you see the title, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And we know that the only way that we can keep ourselves in the love of God is by keeping our lives lined up with the Bible.
Amen.
You remember Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And whatever he command us to do, we can do it. We got to keep working on it. The apostles kept working on it. And you and I need to keep working on it, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Now, Jude chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 21. We're going to be dealing with Jude here. And we know we got to be careful about false teachers, false talk. Because people, they talk false, and we have to have our senses exercised to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. So we have to be careful about the false teachers. Don't listen to false teachers. Don't listen to false talk, because it's going to get us off track. Now, Jude chapter 1. And verse 21. Here's what Jude tells us. And he's talking to everybody. He's talking to preachers. He's talking to the elders. He's talking to the deacons. He's talking to saints. Jude chapter 1 and verse 21. Only has one chapter. Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Amen.
Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. See what he says there? We keep ourselves in the love of God by conforming, shaping our lives to his will. And that takes some time to do that, but that's what we want to do. We want to conform or shape our lives to his will, so we can keep ourselves in the love of God. By being pure in heart, have to work on that, and by having the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Not the mind of the world. We see so much out there in the world, and on television, and just everywhere we go, but we have to keep the mind of Christ. All who keep the commandments will have the love of God, and such persons may expect the mercies of the Lord when he comes to judge the world. We can expect the mercies of God, the mercy of the Lord when he comes. He knows that we worked on our lives, we tried hard, just worked on some things. Nobody's perfect, but we grow towards perfection. We know that. That's why we should always be eager to repent, correct our wrongs, and obey the word of God. We want to keep ourselves in the love of God, stay faithful to God. I looked up this word keep. I thought it was sort of interesting. Keep here means to guard from loss or injury. Keep, to guard from loss or injury by keeping the eye upon thus differing from which is prompt. Got to keep the eye upon what we should keep it upon. To prevent escaping,
It's a military line to fulfill a command. I hope I don't confuse you there. To fulfill a command. He kind of give, this is was from Strong's. You know how it would be a soldier who's keeping watch over, well, the place where the soldiers are, the city. He keeps a watch on the city, and he's watching out for the enemy. Mm-hmm. Soldiers, that's why we're safe today. They kept a watch on the enemy, and the enemy wasn't able to get in to destroy us. And so I can get a picture of that. Now, in the spiritual way, we have to keep a watch on our hearts, on our minds, to keep the enemy out. And the enemy, we know, is Satan. Okay, we can get a picture of that. And that's why it's so important to keep yourselves in the love of God, keep ourselves in the Word of God, so we'll know who's the enemy and who's not the enemy. And so that's what Jude is telling us there in Jude chapter 1 and verse 21. And I'll look at that again. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And like I said, he's going to have mercy on us because we don't deserve anything. As far as everything God done, he did it for us. It's by his mercy that I'm saved. Because I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. It's because of God's mercy that every man is saved. That's why God sent his son to die for our sins. That whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we're going to move on. We continue in God's love by keeping his commandments. By keeping his commandments. And we can keep his commandments. You know, it's just a situation where we got to stay focused. Amen. Oh, we got to stay focused, but we can keep his commandments. I am confident that we all can keep it. He wouldn't give us, you know, I thought about this. God would not give us a command that we couldn't keep. Mm-hmm. Now, we grow towards perfection. We keep working on it. And just like me, I remember the time when I would try to learn to ride a bicycle. See, after baptism, you're a babe in Christ. I remember the time when I would try to ride a bicycle, and I fell a lot of times. I fell down. But I got up, and I kept on trying. In the spiritual ride, you're going to fall down. I don't know how many times we're going to fall. But we get up and we keep trying. That's what God wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. I know the Bible talks about if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. I can get a picture of him talking about us walking in the light. Here you are. You walking in the light. You're doing real good. And all at once, bam, down you go. You know, maybe somebody, you should have walked away on the second job, but you argued with somebody, and you should have just walked away. And I don't curse. But sometimes Christians get mad. They start cursing. Peter did, didn't he? Peter started cursing. There was a lady who said, I saw Peter, you was with Jesus of Galilee. He said, it wasn't none of me. And then another girl saw him, you was with Jesus. And then he started cursing this one. Mm-hmm. So that goes to show us, but anyway, we're walking in the light, we're doing real good, and all it was something. Maybe somebody pushed the button. But we've learned to control some things as we get older. Somebody push a button and down you go. Maybe your wife pushed it.
Maybe your husband pushed it. And then you, you know, but you get it right, and then you keep walking in the light. That's where that goes. I'm just using that for an example.
Let's look at some scriptures here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, we continue in God's love by keeping His commandments. 1 John chapter 5 and 3, I thought this verse was real
interesting to me, because I kept reading it, and I've read it before, and there's some good points here that I like to bring out. 1 John 5 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. And he's dealing with those of us who are Christians. Those who have been born again, washed by the blood of Christ. And he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." See what he says there? He says His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not grievous. That is, they are not burdensome, heavy, or difficult to fulfill. We know that God, in His infinite wisdom, sets forth the best life for His children. Therefore, we rejoice in the opportunity to please the Father we love. 1 John chapter 5 and 3, Jesus did not give grievous, burdensome commands which are impossible to keep. They're not impossible. Takes a lot of work though, but they're not impossible. Let me say that again, because I looked at this, and I studied on it for a while. And when I was reading it, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." They're not impossible to keep. They're not. God never lays a command on a person without giving him the strength to do it. I believe that he can give us the strength to obey His commandments. Amen. Jesus did not mean that His commands are easy to achieve. They're not easy to achieve. It is not easy to love people who are unlovable. It's not for me. It's not easy to love people who are unlovable. I've worked with people who were just unlovable. And it wasn't easy for me to love them, but I learned to love them. God had to keep focused on Christ. But with God's help, we can. His commands are not burdensome. That is, not impossible to keep. It wouldn't be fair to us if God did us that way, gave us commands that we couldn't keep. I can't control the lust of the eye. You can control the lust of the eye. You can control the lust of the flesh. And you can control the pride of life. We got to grow towards that area. It's not impossible to put God first in our lives. That's not impossible. But we must first give ourselves to God. 2 Corinthians 8 and 5. And that's what the Corinthians did. They first gave themselves to God. Amen. So keep yourselves in the love of God, and we can keep His commandments.
We can't keep His commandments. We can keep those commandments. Now look at John 5 and 42. John chapter 5 and verse 42.
Going to be dealing with the Jews now. Jesus is dealing with the Jews. John 5 And it's amazing how when we keep telling ourselves that we can obey God's word and we study the word, and it's amazing how we can grow if we keep on staying in the word and keep studying and growing towards perfection. John 5:42, listen what Jesus told those Jews. But I know you. See, Jesus knows us. He knows every person. He knows everything about us. Jesus knows more about me than I know about myself. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. See, Jesus told the Jews that you don't have the love of God in you. Jesus knew the hearts of men. See, Jesus could look into those Pharisees and those scribes and the Jews' heart, and he knew the hearts of men. Now, I can't do that. I'll just be honest with you. I cannot look into a person's heart and know what's going on in their mind. The only way we know is from the actions that they present to us, by the fruit that they bear. But Jesus could do that. And he says here, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Jesus knew the hearts of men. He knew the Jews did not love him. If they had loved God, they would have obeyed God and believed in Jesus as the Son of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The people that we talk to and they don't obey the gospel, they don't love God. Amen. Just like the Jews did. The Jews professed to love God. However, it was not real love. This is always true when religion becomes self-will. Now watch me on this point. The Jews worked out their pattern of religion and sought to fit God into it. People would do this today. They'll work out their plan. They'll work out what they want. And they'll say, God, this is what we want you to believe.
Amen.
This is right for me. That's why people done been married about 4 or 5 times. They done changed all of that. They have worked out their pattern of religion or whatever. And they said, Lord, this is what we want you to excel in our lives. I remember a couple of people asked me about a preacher one time, and I told them I didn't know. They said, they asked me about a preacher, and I said, yeah, he's doing pretty good. He got married. What? I said, yeah, he got married. They said, can he get married? I said, I don't know. And what happened? They said he got up and made a confession in church that, you know, he had done something that he should not have done. He committed adultery on his wife. And they felt like that, well, he couldn't get married. And you can't. It got to be an innocent person. And I told him I didn't know that. I didn't know. And I'm not going to get involved in that because I don't know. But anyway, but I will say this, that people, the Jews worked out their own pattern of religion and sought to fit God into it. People would do this. They'll work out their own plan and want to fit God in it. Can't do that. Whoever put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. Matthew 19:9. And whoever marrieth her who is put away doth commit adultery. They did not seek to know God's will and yield their will to God's will. And I'll quickly say this. I had a study with some preachers one time. I had a study with some preachers one time, some denominational preachers, and the subject come up about marriage. And there was a one preacher who said, I've been married twice. I said, well, what happened to you? What happened to your first wife? He said, I got tired of her. Now, he told me that. I said, you cannot do that. And I read Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32. And do you know what they say? Well, that's just what the Church of Christ believes. What? That's what's in the Bible. And anyway, I tried to explain it to him, but he still, when we left that study, he's confident he was okay. And what he had done, he had worked out a way for he want God to fit that plan. God won't do that. They did not seek to know God's will, the Jews didn't, and yield their will to God's will. This is the mistake that many people make today. We must accept God's answer. See, when God says no, I need to accept the no. When he tells me no, I just better accept the no. And when he says yes, I need to accept the yes.
All right. Now, in Mark chapter 10:21,
and I've learned to do that. And God, whatever God says, I just learned to accept that. Now, Mark chapter 10. Because we want to go to heaven when we die. You know, remember Jesus said, what if I gain the whole world? What if a man gains the whole world and lose his soul? Mark 10:21. We're going to move pretty quick here because I got one more section there. We're just going to have another part because I'm not going to go too long with this. All right. Then Jesus, looking at him, this was the rich young ruler. You remember the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 and verse 21? Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. See, Jesus loved him. He was teaching this man, and he loved him. When we're teaching people, we've got to be patient with people. We've got to love them. And said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross, and follow me. And I studied that, I looked at it, and I looked at one thing you like. If we don't repent of that one thing, it will keep us out of heaven. I talked to a man, and he said, I'm ready to go. This was a denominational guy. He said, I'm going to heaven. And then I already talked to him. You can't go to heaven and be a member of a church that's not in the Bible. And he was a member of the Baptist church. You cannot do that. But he said, I know I'm going. Well, there's a lot of people who will say that. I know I'm going. There's Christians who say, I know that I'm going. Well, that's good, but we better take and examine our lives against the scriptures. Mm-hmm. See, I may have a lot of things right, but is there one thing in my life that I need to give up? Is there just one thing in your life that you need to give up? That's what Jesus said. There's one thing you like. There's one thing. He had not committed adultery. Look at verse 19. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have done. I have kept. All these things I have kept from my youth. He had not done those things. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. See, he kept all the rest of those things, but there was one thing in his life that he lacked. And so before anybody say, well, I'm on my way, I know I'm going, better deep look at the Word of God and look at your life. Is there one thing in your life that you need to work on and get rid of? One thing you like, go your way, Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. That's what he said. He says, you come and follow me. That's something to think about, isn't it? Alright, let's look at Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. But anyway, the rich young man went away sorrowful, for he was a man of great possessions. Amen. He wouldn't do that. I didn't mean to jump to the gun there, but let me, in Mark 10, let me read that 22. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He didn't give it up.
Amen.
He just walked away. I remember about, there's a gentleman in this neighborhood had a nice garden. He had a real nice garden. And I went over there and I talked to him and tried to get him to come to church, invited him to church. And he just told me, he said, you see what I'm doing here? I said, yes, sir, I see what you're doing. I said, now God gives us time to have a garden and God gives us time to come to church. And he had in his mind that he didn't really have the time. And I told him, I said, there's going to be a judgment day, and that there ain't going to matter to you. Mm-hmm. And then he just kind of walked away from me, and I just went on. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just walked away, went away. That's what the rich young man did about his riches. He went away, he was sad, and went away in a sorrowful manner. And he didn't give up those riches. But there's a lot of other things that he did do. But he wouldn't give up his riches.
Now Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 and 14. King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived.
He was the king. And King Solomon, he says this. We got to keep God's commandments. That's what I'm talking about. Keeping God's commandments. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. See right there? For this is man's all. We have to keep working on our lives. If we don't, we don't get better. I get older, but I don't get better if I don't work on it.
And that's what happened to King Solomon.
King Solomon, he got older, but he didn't get any better. He didn't get any better. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing. Now there are some good secrets. There are good secrets. Whether good or evil. Because he said whether good or evil. There are good secrets. Okay? And so we know that Solomon, and what happened to him when he got old, he got into idolatrous worship. I'm not going to turn and read those scriptures, 1 Kings 11 and 4. He got into idolatrous worship when he got old. You would think by then he done got some things together, but when he got old, he got into idolatrous worship.
I was talking to some brethren. And I did say this. I said it appeared that Solomon did come back to the faith, to the truth. They said, and the preacher's supposed to give me this scripture going to show me that he didn't.
I'm gonna have to call him back up and get that scripture because I wanna know. Did Solomon get himself together in his old age, or did he not? 1 Kings 11 and 4, because the book said that when Solomon got old, he said that Solomon loved many strange women. He said he loved those women. He loved many strange women, and then he got into the women, and then he got into idolatry. Did he get himself together?
I hope he did, but anyway. That could be a man's weakness. We continue in God's love by keeping his commandments. Now, the faith. We got to keep the faith.
First Peter 1, 4 through 5.
Let's look at this one here, and we're going to have to move on. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1,
we'll read these real quick, and then we'll break it to a close.
1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 here. And 1 Peter chapter 1, 4 and 5. God has going to give us the eternal home in heaven. We have a place there. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. See, it does not fade away. This means that it would not wear out or waste away. Anything on this earth gonna wear out and it's gonna waste away. Sometimes people sell you stuff and they say, well, it's maintenance free. It's maintenance free. I don't know about that. Eventually it's gonna wear out and it's gonna waste away. But heaven won't though, and that's what I'm looking at. Heaven would not wear out and heaven would not waste away. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we're here. We're going to make it. We're going to keep working on our lives. We're going to make it. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. We must be faithful to the end. But we can make it, and we can be faithful. 1 Corinthians 15 and 2. Let's look at this one here. 1 Corinthians 15 and 2. It's talking about the gospel. We'll just go ahead and read verse 1 real quick. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. See, the gospel is the good news. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. See, you're saved. You obey the gospel. You are in a saved state. You're in a saved state.
Amen.
But look what he says here. We're in a saved state. We don't believe that once you saved, you always saved. We believe, the Bible teaches, that I don't need to be saying what I believe, is what the Bible teaches, that you can stop believing. There are some people that I go out and talk to, they don't stop believing. I give the right scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 and 2. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Keep the word in our lives. You got to hold on to it. You know what it would be if you hold on to something?
Amen.
I was painting my barn, the trimming of my barn, and I got up about 14 foot high, but I was still holding on that ladder. It's kind of funny, when I first was going to do that job, and you got to be wise. When I first going to do that job, I extend that ladder out, and the further you extend it out, the seemed like the ladder got weaker. So when I got up there, the ladder started shaking. And I said, I don't know if it's a ladder, my knee's shaking. Come find out it was a ladder. So what I did, the ladder's here, say the barn is here, and there's a post. And what I did, I took some straps and strapped that ladder to the post. Mm-hmm. And it kept it from shaking. Then I got up there and done my paint. And you don't want to be stretching when you paint. Because then you're going to fall off your ladder. They taught all this when I went to working for the company. And so, whatever you do, you want to go safety first. If it's not safe, just don't do it. And so we find that we're saved. If you hold fast, you got to hold on. That word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. Got to hold on. And I know we're holding on. Ephesians 4, 3 through 6, another scripture. I think I went further longer than I wanted to. Oh boy. That's all right. Ephesians. And we know that the oneness that we have, the Bible makes it plain. Well, I know I got it in here somewhere. Ephesians chapter 4, and it talks about how endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. And we know that when we're talking to our denominational friends, we have to stay with the scriptures of Ephesians 4 and 3. Listen to what it says. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. See, the one body is the one church. I got to keep preaching that wherever I go. Colossians 1 and 18, the body is the church, and there's only one church. One Spirit, there's only one Holy Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope, there's only one hope for heaven. Of your calling, one Lord, there's only one Lord, there's one ruler, Christ, one faith, the faith is the system of faith, the New Testament, and one baptism.
Amen.
One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You can see the oneness there.
Amen.
The one faith is the system of faith, and it's the New Testament. Second Timothy chapter 4, this will be our last one. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I'm going to show you this one and we're going to quit. This is what Paul said. Now Paul, he knew that he was on his way to heaven. He knew it. Now can we really know? Yes, we can know.
Amen.
We can know. But we got to make sure that our lives are lining up with the Bible. Everything. Got to make sure everything is lined up with the Bible. And so 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul kept the faith by preaching and practicing it in its purity. Okay, he kept the faith. The New Testament teaching. Now it's easy for me to preach it. It's easy for other men to preach it. But we got to keep it. Preaching, that's the easy part. Putting it to practice in our lives. That's when the rubber meets the road. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. He knew where he was going because he knew his life was lined up with the scriptures.
Amen.
And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now watch this real quick. Be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Wow. And has departed from Thessalonica, Chris, Damascus, from Galatia, Titus, for Dimatia. He said, Demas has forsaken me. He did, and I don't read where he ever came back. There you have it.
So before we, any person, make the statement, I'm ready to go, make sure that my life is lined up with the scriptures.
You make sure that your life is lined up with the scriptures. All of it. Other than that, because God's going to be the judge. I'm not going to be my own judge. God is going to be the judge. And we can do what God has commanded us to do. Those out there who are not Christians, you need to become a Christian. And those out there who are not Christians, they'll tell you, oh yeah, I'm going to heaven. And they haven't even been born again. Amen. Got to be born again of water and of the Spirit. And so one must hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of their sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with him in baptism. If one is a Christian and have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make it right while together we stand to sing the song that has been selected.